Welcome, everyone. Today, the topic is comparative thought. Is truth contextual? I thought that it would be very interesting to think about truth. Is truth contextual? If truth is contextual, then anybody at a certain time can claim a certain truth. Someone says when they're 20, when they're 30, when they're 40, when they're 50, when they're 60, when they're 70, when they're 80, and then when they're 90, changes. And though a person may have said something when they're 50 or 60, by the time they're 80 in a different situation, they may not feel that way. So how do you know that that person now today feels the same way they felt 5, 6 years ago when they made that statement? Let me repeat that. How do we know what a person tells us 5 years ago and asks us for a commitment or a promise to fulfill it is still the same way that person is today when they can't elucidate or express that request? So we as human beings, we rationalize that and we say, well, they were lucid back then and they're not as lucid now. So therefore they know more what they want then than what they want now. But is that true? Let's look at our own lives. Okay. Truth at one point is not necessarily a truth at another point. People are involved in very big decisions. And how does one know that what somebody felt was true at one point, they still feel is true and applicable in the present? Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
The question I'm raising here for our discourse is not necessarily all the emotions involved with it, but rather the temporality or contextuality, if there's a word like that, I don't think there is, of what we believe and what our truths are at a certain point in time and how that can change. So now we understand that the real issue here is the individual being able to realize their own truth in their own heart and then come to a resting place that's comfortable for them. Do y'all see that?
Yeah.
And the catalyst for that process was being able to go there and have the experience and open themselves to the experience of discussion. And then afterwards, when it stopped being an intellectual discussion or an emotional discussion, they were able to come back and have a discussion with, what do they really feel? What's really in my heart? What is my truth right now about what's happening out there? Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
And that goes back to something that Sam, you once said in a discourse a couple times ago, I think when we were discussing Epictetus, it needs to be lived. We can discuss these things and discuss these things. You can have discussions with your children about what's going to happen if you're in that position till the cows come home. But they'll only really know what they're going to do when they're actually in it. So another question arises. Is it more important to get a commitment from somebody to a certain point of view at a certain point in time? Or is it more important to encourage the person to try and understand their own heart and what's right for them so that they'll have the tools when the time arrives to make that decision? Many people interpret the Buddha Dharma as a method of living specifically for the point of death. Because if we practice mindful attention and clarity and honesty all our life, we'll be able to do it when we're ready to die. But if we don't, it's not something going to come to us the moment, 5 minutes, oh, I better start breathing and doing my mindfulness now because this is going to help me. That won't happen. That's one of the reasons why daily practice is so important. So we can find truth and understanding, clarity in difficult times. And death is a very difficult time. It's not a sad, I mean, it's sad because we're human, but it's not a tragic time. I'm not a big person about death being tragic, as long as tragedy is relative, of course, right? So a young person's death can be a tragedy, or an accident or a murder. That those are all tragedies, of course. But when someone's at the end of their life and they're going through their process, death is a normal process. And one of the things that was commented upon by my siblings was, wow, it makes me realize that this could happen any time, that we're all here. And I said, yes, we're all travelers on this spaceship Earth. And at any moment, things could change. And we have to understand it. And again, we relate that because the Buddha even says some in some of the suttas, you know, at any moment, life could be over. It's one breath away. So it's about bringing our attention right now, right here, to what we do. And returning full circle, the contextuality of truth is almost always prevalent and present. So where do we find a common thread that can sustain us? Well, if we go back to the, in the Western world at least, to the philosophy of Plato and post-Platonic philosophy of the body politic, the society, the state gives us laws, and those laws become the guidelines that overrule all personal points of view, right? So if someone writes down a document saying, if I enter this situation and this is how I define this situation, and the decision will be, if I'm in this situation, will be left up to professionals who are capable, i.e. a doctor, then this is what I want to take place. I sign it, I witness it, I stamp it. The state provides that vehicle for people if they want to use it. But aside from aside from giving that over to the state, is there something else from a philosophical point of view, from a Dharma point of view, from a Stoic point of view, that one can do so that we do have a common thread, a common journey throughout our life, and a continual relationship to a truth that we can be happy with, that we can be satisfied with, that won't necessarily ease all the pain of life, but will definitely ease the suffering of life. That sound familiar? And how do we do that? And my suggestion is that's what we're doing now. That's what all these discourses are about. That's what studying Buddha Dharma, studying Stoicism, that's what's called practical philosophy. Practices from a philosophical approach that give us the ability to maintain contact with our own inner heart and truth with a capital T, regardless of the situation around us, regardless of the context. Now, that doesn't say that the truth and how we see it, how we feel it, may not change somewhat. But as long as the changes are in line with who we really are and honest with ourselves, then we're in harmony. If the changes result and take us in taking us away or farther away from who we are, then we're in disharmony. And perhaps one of the problems in life in the societies that we all live in today is that it doesn't encourage that, so that by the time people get into their midlife and then late life, they've gone on paths that have taken them very far away from their heart and who they really are. In fact, in many cases, so far away that there's no time to get back to it before they die. And this is an existential crisis for everybody, but especially for the person who's dying, which is why they may shut out things and shut down and close things. And so for me, in my own strange, twisted way, was just more evidence that emotions are evil. As you know, I say that. That's a horrible thing to say in today's world. People think I'm nuts. But feelings are wonderful. But the minute they become emotions, that it's some pattern that's going on inside, wanting to find itself expressed at the moment and not willing to let go of the feeling. So I see someone dear to me is about to pass, and I feel extremely sad and upset, and I can't let go of it. It's clinging to something in me that perhaps is not accepting my own passing, is not accepting something else, rather than feeling the sadness of this person about the past. And of course, there'll be sadness and there'll be grief, but such is life. Part of that is life. And not casually, and not, on the other hand, insensitively. Thoughts, comments, criticisms. I'll take the silence as it's contemplative truth where you're all finding at the moment.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So, is truth contextual? It is if we don't do our homework. And our homework is our daily practice. Does truth change, capital T? The manifestation and expression of it may, but the connection to the essentiality of it shouldn't, if you're staying present in the moment. And of course, you can see how it's difficult to use words to discuss this, because you said truth shouldn't change, but everything's impermanent, so how can truth not change? Well, we have to understand how we're approaching that discussion. What I'm really saying is, if your ability to stay in your heart and understand what it is, who you are, and maintain that connection with universal truth, whether you call it God or call it Buddha or call it philosophy, whatever you want to call it, then your truth will go through your journey with truth. It will follow the path and keep you on your path, whatever that path may be. But if we don't maintain that connection and we're distracted right, left, center with all kinds of things, then likely that we'll be distracted with all kinds of things. And distraction and dissipation will become what we think is truth. And that leads usually to a lot of suffering, in my experience. Should we go on to Epictetus? Or anybody else want to say anything? Comments?